Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and father of Michael Thomas Enyart. Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. For those of you who are new to the show, we take a Christian worldview based on the Bible, God's Word, and apply it to the news of the day. So let's try that. Let's see. Where are we going to start? How about with this Reuters story? The 2007 hurricane season. Well, it's not what it used to be. They say it might be less severe than forecast due to cooler than expected water temperatures in the tropical Atlantic. So those who are hoping for global warming, we hate to disappoint you, but what was it? Mars got a little warmer over the past couple years as a result of what causes global warming? Oh, the sun. That's right. I forgot. The sun causes global warming. And, of course, liberals want to change this to climate change so that when it doesn't get much warmer, they could still be right. If it gets cooler, they'll still be right. Okay, so cooler than expected temperatures in the tropical Atlantic is helping the hurricane season to be less severe than previously thought. What else is in the news? That was Reuters. This is the Associated Press out of Providence, Rhode Island. Have you heard of Oscar the Cat? Oscar the cat lives at a nursing home, and this was written up in New England, the New England Journal of Medicine. And this cat likes to curl up next to patients right before they die. And they've been observing Oscar the cat, and they say that he has an uncanny knack for predicting when nursing home patients are going to die by curling up next to them during their final hours. So, you know, we saw this cat walking by one of our neighbors' homes the other night. We're trying to figure out what does that mean. But actually, there is concern, right, with something like this. There are two possibilities. One, maybe the cat has a way of figuring out if somebody's going to die. In fact, his accuracy has been observed in 25 cases, and it's led the staff to call family members once he has chosen a patient to curl up next to, and it usually means they have less than 4 hours to live. So there could be some kind of a sense that this cat is able to figure out who's going to die. On the other hand, it could also be that there is someone, an employee of the nursing home, this is epidemic in America, right, who thinks that he or she is God, and they decide to over-medicate and kill the patients. And maybe that's the person who's perhaps wanting to give the patient a little going-away comfort and company with the cat, and just bringing the cat and putting the cat on the bed or putting a little catnip in there. So it's hard to say, right? In our culture, who knows? How do you interpret the news? Is the cat sensing when somebody's going to die, or is an employee of the nursing home killing people and having an influence on the cat's behavior? I think the New England Journal of Medicine seemed to overlook that possibility. At least it's a possibility. Inquiring minds want to know. Okay, so what else do we have here? Oh, someone sent us an email and was upset that we are against abortion. It was a woman, and she said, in case you don't know, abortion is legal. And so occasionally there are people on our staff that help to reply to the emails we get. My email ID is bob@kgov.com. It's not possible to reply to everybody. And when we respond, we'll tell you if it's me or perhaps it's Tom, a KGov staffer, or Will. We'll say that right up at the top of the email. Hi, this is not Bob. This is Tom Healy, a KGov staffer, and so on. And so anyway, she wrote, in case you don't know, abortion is legal. So Tom Healy wrote back this. He wrote, so was killing a Jew in Nazi Germany and owning a black man in America. If I can defeat your argument in one sentence, you need to rethink your position. That's pretty good. Good job, Tom. All right. Tom is a retired federal law enforcement guy, used to protect our nuclear weapons from terrorists, stuff like that. He's pretty cool. Worked at the Pentagon, law enforcement. Now he's a rancher slash retired rancher, and he and his wife Madeline spend their summers in Colorado helping us with our open letter project this year, and here at Bob and Yurt Live, and of course at Denver Bible Church. It's such an honor to have them helping out. Okay, how many registered sex offenders do we have in the United States? Now, isn't that a funny question? How many registered sex offenders? What do you do with a sex offender? Well, if you're a liberal, you register them. If somebody molests a child, that's a good opportunity to address overpopulation. If somebody molests a child, just address overpopulation. So we have 600,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. 600,000. And, of course, it's epidemic because of the way our criminal justice system is broken. And we literally entice people as they grow up to become criminals and perverts. That's what we do. And so MySpace, do you have any kids that have websites on MySpace? I hope not. Or grandkids? Because that's what? MySpace exists to market teenage girls to the rest of the nation and the world, right? That's the purpose of it. So teenage girls could be seductive. And whether it's their websites, their own personal sites on MySpace, their MySpace accounts, or whether it's advertising, that's as far as I could tell, that's what MySpace is for. It's so, who owns Fox News? Who owns Fox News? So that Fox News, you know Fox News, right? Well, their parent company owns MySpace.com. And just like Fox News is this voyeuristic news service that loves to show video of young girls, like Bill O'Reilly will act like he's shocked or incensed or upset, and he'll show video of young girls being seductive or whatever over and over. So we pretty much, you know, we've mostly given up on Fox News. We might turn it on once every month or so now. But anyway, so MySpace, they have about 60 million different visitors every month to MySpace just in the United States. And they have just deleted 29,000 accounts that were run by convicted sex offenders. The minimum age to register on MySpace is 14 years of age. And that's how it functions, right? So anyway, if you want to market your teenage daughter's sexuality, you could let her have a MySpace account. Or if you want your son to be seduced by 14, 15, 16-year-old girls acting sexually, let him go on MySpace, or just let him have access to the internet unchaperoned, unsupervised. And then you'll be doing a great job to ruin your child's life. Okay, what else? Let's see. Oh, we've been wanting to get to this. This is a day where we thought we'd go through the news, see what's happening. There's a lot happening in our open letter project, our effort to teach the pro-lifers in the country and around the world the difference between the personhood wing of the pro-life movement and the child-killing regulators. And what's been happening is we heard from a pro-life leader who's been in the fight for, 15 years? And he said it's never happened until now that the personhood wing of the pro-life movement is on the ascendancy. He said we've banded together. We've caused a coalition. Brian Rohrbaugh, president of Colorado Right to Life, is leading the fight. And this has never happened before, where the child killing regulators are on the defensive, like National Right to Life and Focus on the Family and Jay Sekulow and so on. And what's happening is we are documenting that all our supposed pro-life judges reject the personhood and God-given right to life of the unborn. And as we're documenting that, there are Christian pro-lifers that are devastated by the truth. They're in shock. They're absolutely in shock. And since we now have all of our Republican pro-life justices on the U.S. Supreme Court who support the right to kill your child as long as you follow the rules and legalize abortion by the proper process, now that all of our judges support that, that is a condemnation of National Right to Life strategy. That's the bad fruit of their strategy, that all of our judges are now pro-choice as long as you follow the process. So anyway, that project is going extremely well, but we thought we'd go through the news. By the way, we have a new BEL catalog. It's really nice. Wow. We have revamped, upgraded so many of our resources. We have over 100 BEL resources, Bible study albums, DVDs, manuscripts, just exciting materials, and so much of it has all new artwork, new packaging, and that's because of the hard work of so many people. We have a graphic artist who's working with us. She used to work, Nancy Ferwita, she used to do graphic art for some years for the U.S. Air Force. They're stationed, her and her husband are stationed in Germany, and she's working with us. She's our full-time graphic artist, and others. In fact, we have the BEL, Bob and Yurt Live Televised Classics, back when Bob and Yurt Live was a TV show. We have Season 1, BEL Indiana Season 1, available on DVDs the whole season. Actually, that was our first season was a short year, 52 shows for $149.99, $150. So imagine $150, you get every show that we did, 1 hour programs on DVDs. It's 26 DVDs, two shows per disc. And I think you'll love it. Just to see the menu is a kick. Just the DVD menu is funny. Okay, so anyway, that's our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. You could use that number to call into this program, or you could call and ask for a catalog, order our 40 years DVD, 40 years in the wilderness. And also, if you're listening to this downloaded on the internet, to let you know, about 1,000 people download each show after we do the show. People listen live, like we got a call from a pastor, the pastor of Horace Bible Church in Kansas, yes, a couple days ago. And he called, he said, Bob, I read the plot, and I've watched the 40 Years in the Wilderness DVD. I've been buying a few of those and handing them out. And I'd like to start getting your monthly sermons if I could get those. And we provide those on MP3 CDs. We send them around the country. And so it's pretty cool. People listen in Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado on the radio. And then people listen live on the internet. But then also people download after the show's over. They download. And we get about 1,000 people downloading the show. And we know that many of them listen to the program, let's say, at work, with a few friends, or in the morning over breakfast with the wife, or in the evening after dinner with their family. So those 1,000 downloads, and some of those people will email a show. They'll say, hey, you know, they have a brother in Virginia. Hey, you got to listen to the show. They just emailed to them. So those 1,000 downloads could be a couple thousand people, additional people listening to the show. And that's exciting. That all happens at KGOV, KGOV.com. And so I'm going to go to the phones right now, but first I want to let you know we're going to talk about a pastor from San Antonio, Texas, who died from a lightning strike. So let's go to Woodland Park, Colorado. Paul, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, sir.
Well, we have an issue on our job site. Bob Inyart's kind of required listening on at 3 o'clock every day.
Oh wow! What kind of work, Paul? Construction?
I'm a general contractor.
All right.
Okay, so one of my guys says that what if on abortion, if it's always wrong, what if a woman has a tubal pregnancy and she's going to die?
That is a great question, Paul. An ectopic pregnancy where the egg is fertilized, but the fertilized egg is stuck in the fallopian tube. It's not made its way down into the uterus. And so the woman will die and the baby will die.
That is correct.
Right. So this is what a doctor should do in that situation. The doctor should attempt, his goal should be to save the mother and save the baby. Now, our technology is such that we don't have the ability to save the baby at this point. But the goal is to save both. And if we could save both, maybe in the future, as our technology improves, maybe we'll be able to save that baby. But right now, we cannot save that baby. So we take the baby out. We want to save the mother and the baby, but the baby dies. The goal is not to kill the baby. Now, let me explain that with partial birth abortion. For example, when Bill and Hillary Clinton came to Colorado and they spoke to some of the Columbine parents, this is weeks after Columbine, and Brian Rohrbaugh said to Bill and Hillary Clinton, this is what he said, in a group of six people, they're standing face to face about, 4 feet apart, and he said, "Mr. President, when you vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, you became responsible for murder more violent than what happened to our children here at Columbine." Now, that's one of the reasons I admire Brian Rohrbaugh, because he has the guts to say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, and to whom it needs to be said. But this is what Bill Clinton responded back. He said, "Well, I had to because there was no exception for the life of the mother." Did you ever hear this story, Paul?
Yes, I've heard it before.
You've heard it. Okay. And so what that means, and this will help answer the tubal pregnancy, the ectopic pregnancy question. What that means is if a woman is, let's say her baby is 7, 8, 9 months along, and you have a doctor who prefers to kill children, and let's say the mother is in a crisis, literally she's dying, maybe she has preeclampsia, a complication with pregnancy, and she's dying, and the only treatment to save her is to deliver the baby, well, then the goal of the doctor should be to save the mother and the baby. So you take this 8-month-old baby out of her womb, and you love the mother and you love the baby. You wouldn't stop 80% of the way through that process to kill the baby, because then your goal is different. Then your goal would be to love the mother, to save the mother and kill the baby. So Bill Clinton is a liar and a child killer. And so your goal would be save the mother and save the baby. The younger the baby is, the more difficult it is for us to save the baby. So in a tubal pregnancy, it's impossible at this point in our technology to save the baby. But the goal would be, if we could save the baby, if we could implant that baby in that mother's womb or another mother's womb, then we would, if we could. But we can't. And maybe one reason we can't is because our whole medical community is filled with pro-aborts, child killers, and so they don't even think about saving such babies.
Right.
Is that verbose enough of an answer, Paul?
That was almost identical to the answer I gave him yesterday, but I said, you know what, we'll ask Bob and see what he says.
Now, this guy, and I know you got to go, but this guy, is he generally pro-life?
Yeah. He's generally pro-life, yes.
Okay, so you know what that means to us here at Bob and Yurt Live?
What's that?
This is what we call people like National Right to Life folks. They are pro-choice with exceptions. Yeah, they're pro-choice with exceptions. They support killing babies except under different circumstances. So like George W. Bush is pro-choice with exceptions.
Right.
So it's sad. It's really sad. But that's because one reason is the pro-life movement have become moral relativist and they've lost their way. Hey, thank you, Paul, so much for calling in.
No, really, thank you, Bob, for helping us to understand right from wrong. Oh. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're a general contractor?
Yes.
My brother, he's been doing remodeling of homes. He's like a master craftsman for years in New Jersey. He just moved to Colorado months ago, and the first thing he did when he got here is he bought 4 homes, and he fixed them up, you know, and now they're selling them. And when my brother fixes up a home, he just doesn't slap on some paint. Each of these homes, he's turned into the nicest home in the neighborhood. It's pretty cool.
It is. Flipping houses is something that's pretty neat.
Yeah, if you really do it.
Yeah, you have to be good.
There's a lot of charlatans who make believe they fix it, and they make it worse.
So this is true.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, man. God bless you.
You too.
Okay. So in San Antonio, Texas, now that's where there are big churches in San Antonio, right? Yeah, really big churches in San Antonio. But this one, well, this church was pastored by a 50-year-old man who was killed this week after he was hit by a bolt of lightning while hiking with his 2 sons. Now, we were hiking 2 Saturdays ago in the mountains, Cheryl and I, with our 3 youngest boys, ages 6, 7, and 9. Is that right? Because Michael's 7. He'll be 8 eventually. But anyway, 6, 7, and 9. And there was a storm brewing in the distance. And we had to decide, do we immediately turn back? We're about a half hour into a hike in the mountains. And we're headed to a beautiful place on a rocky cliff to have lunch. Just a beautiful place. And it's not a lot of people on the trail. It's really gorgeous. Up above Golden, Colorado. And our boys, I forget which one of them said it, but if the storm comes near, they said, don't go under a tree. And I don't remember who said that. I think it was Dominic? Zachary. It was Zachary. He's 9. He's 9 years old. So when this story hit the news this week, it made me think of that, because this pastor, 50-year-old pastor from a church in San Antonio, Texas, was killed by a bolt of lightning while hiking with his 2 teenage sons. And what happened was it started lightning and they went under a tree. They sought for cover under a cedar tree. And that's exactly the wrong thing to do, right? And my 9-year-old knew that. We've gone hiking and in the woods. We've gone to many national parks. We teach kids about science and lightning and all kinds of dangers in the world. And so this father's hit by lightning and he died instantly. What a tragedy. And his 2 teenage sons, his 18-year-old son ran for help. And the 14-year-old brother stayed with their dad. And when the medics got there, they said it was too late. He was already dead. And the 2 boys suffered injuries. They had burns to their ankles. Scary, isn't it? Burns to their ankles where the lightning passed through and went, you know, from the ground back into the ground, just going through their feet. But so many Christians, when something like this happens, they say that God was in the lightning. That God was in the lightning. But, you know, years ago when Benjamin Franklin invented the lightning rod, you know what happened? Christians at that time got critical of him. And they said, how dare you? Because God is the one who decides where the lightning will strike. And Benjamin Franklin, you know, he was familiar with Christians saying the most superstitious and bizarre things. And he said, well, then why do you put a roof on your house? If God's going to decide who he's going to kill with lightning, maybe why put a roof on your house? Maybe he wants to kill you in a flood, have your house fill up with water and you drown. So how foolish, right? And if you remember the pagan Greeks, remember Mount Olympus and the pantheon of Greek gods atop Mount Olympus? We went there last spring Denver Bible Church, a Bible tour of Greece. We were swimming in the Aegean Sea at the foot of Mount Olympus, making fun of the Greek gods. It was really a great trip. We learned a lot about the Bible. In fact, Lord willing, we'll be going to Italy for a Bible tour of Italy when in Rome, study Romans, next spring, 2008. And that should be a wonderful two-week trip. But it was the pagan Greeks who believed that Zeus was throwing the lightning bolts and aiming them. And so the Christians have adopted so many superstitions of the pagan world. And so Benjamin Franklin invented the lightning rod. And if people thought that God had been aiming the lightning bolts to kill certain people, then with the lightning rod, they should have been disabused of that superstition. Because what? What would a lightning rod do? If God wants to kill people in homes with lightning bolts, then surely the lightning rods wouldn't hurt his aim. He could aim it past the lightning rod, couldn't he? But what we know is that God loves the physical creation that he made. He said it was very good. He created the physical universe and thereby brought into existence the physical laws, the laws of nature, the laws of science, physics. And he likes all that. And those laws, they govern where lightning bolts will hit. So if this pastor and his sons had been taught, don't go under a tree when it's lightning, he would be alive today. He wouldn't have been killed under that cedar tree. So people say God did it. So was God punishing the pastor? And some people see something terrible happen and they say the devil did it, or God did it, or they don't know. So when somebody evil does something, some Christians say, well, that's God's judgment on our nation. Well, how do you know if it's God's judgment, or is it the devil, or is it just evil people? How do you know? And you say, well, I don't know. Well, then in that case, don't put things into God's mouth, because people take offense when you accuse them of saying things they didn't say, or if you're a false witness against them and saying, well, so-and-so killed those people. I said, you're a false witness. I didn't kill those people. So if you say God killed those people, God might get angry at that. Well, he would if he didn't kill those people. So as Christians, we have to learn not to be superstitious. Not to be superstitious, because superstition doesn't do anything for the body of Christ, nothing positive. It brings shame to the gospel. So we have to learn the difference between spiritual truth and superstition. And our 100 Bible resources, they could help you with that if you'd like to read the plot or overview of the whole Bible or listen to it on MP3 CDs. We have those available too. You can call us at 800-8-NYARD. Maranatha Christian Center with a wonderful school in Arvada. And our website is kgov.com.